I prayed, you start. Remember, that was the deal. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, like he said, I'm the daughter of Brother Steve and Sister Sherry. I was born and raised here in this congregation. And as a little girl, 7, 8 years old, I remember my mom telling me that it's never too early to start praying for a companion. And so I did. You don't really think much about it when you're little, but the prayers got a little more serious as you got older, and I did that. And I remember having a list, and of course, my top of my list is I wanted a saved companion, not only a saved companion, but someone who was consistent, not someone who was up and down. I wanted a tall guy. I wanted big guy, a handsome guy.
Right.
Look what I got stuck with. Anyway.
Talk about hitting the lottery.
I also, another thing on my list was that I wanted only one boyfriend. So I was kind of picky, and I didn't even date until I was 18, I think. And I'm glad that doesn't always work out for everyone, but I'm glad that I did marry my first boyfriend.
Is it my turn yet?
It's your turn.
Okay, Mike. I was not born in the congregation here. I was born in Missouri. Dad had married Mom. You guys are married up here, right? I don't even remember. Yeah.
Well, you weren't here.
Well, obviously I wasn't here, but I can't remember that stuff. I don't know all that stuff. But it was just kind of a miracle. I mean, Dad was the black sheep of the family. He didn't want anything to do with church. He was raised here in church, and he met Mom, and of course she didn't know anything about church. She'd never been here, so they got married, and I was born in Missouri. So I didn't have the, you know, in my early years of growing up, as far as who to pick as the right companion, I didn't know anything about that. So I was raised out there. Mom got saved, thankfully, and we started coming to camp meeting. And I don't remember when that was. I was 13 when we moved up here. So that would have been whenever I first saw her. I think it was 13.
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
He was about this tall.
Yeah, I was.
I couldn't wear heels. He had like chubby cheeks. His face turned red every time he went around me.
Yeah, I couldn't talk to her. Come on now. She was 18 and I was 15 at the time, so.
No.
13 whenever I first, yeah, I saw you. Yeah, that was behind the dining hall.
And I was remember, like 15 or 16.
Yeah, you would have been
so
something around
I had
there.
No
yeah,
interest.
I was, yeah. Yeah, you got to figure a sophomore in high school and I'm in 7th grade. But yeah, that's, at that time there, that age gap, that's huge at that age, so. Yeah, she wanted nothing to do with me, but I remember telling somebody, I'm going to marry her someday.
And I laughed, because I got back to me, uh-huh. And I was like, well, that's funny, because I'm glad someone knows what's going to happen the rest of my life.
It's a good thing you listened to me, though.
So then, June 5th, 2005, you remember that day?
Well, you remind me of it, yeah.
Every year I remind him of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's when I started watching him, you know. That's the step before
she
talking.
She puts that term in there is because you really started to see something there.
So the fall of the next year, he asked me to be his girlfriend. I think you finally turned 16 and mm-hmm. I was 18.
You got to wait until you get your driver's license if you're the guy.
So then that was 2016 or 2006. And then we broke up the next February. And then he tried to break up with me again that summer during camp meeting. And then he broke up with me again in the fall mm-hmm. for a really long time.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure who the fool is, like the one who kept coming back or the one who kept taking him back. But anyway, we're together, mm-hmm. obviously. So the breakup was absolutely just devastating. I mean, I was, what, like 21. I was never going to find anyone else.
20. I was 17.
Oh, I was 20. Okay.
Yeah,
it was... I overreacted majorly, but anyway, the devil likes to use breakups, especially in our case. He, you know, would tell you there's no one else, you know, then he sends the distractions of worldly girlfriends and worldly boyfriends, which really can get you off track if you let it. But we both decided the split was good.
Yeah.
15 years later, we decided it wasn't too bad of an idea. Really, neither of us were as close to God as we should have been. And so it was a good time for us to kind of find ourselves, find out, you know, where we were with God, get closer to God. And it seemed like I kept fighting it and fighting it, and what's his problem, and I kept trying to get him back, and finally I just remember feeling like, whatever, like I just kind of threw my hands up and just whatever happens, happens, if he finds someone else, whatever. And it was like, I'm not kidding, like a week later he sent me an email and was like, hey,
that's how we had to talk,
can we talk
then.
Yeah, emails. We didn't text much.
Yeah, you had to pay for texts.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, so emails
on the track phone.
25 cents a piece, that adds up quick.
So then we did get back together in the summer of 2008. And it took 3 more years for him to ask me to marry him. I felt like Jacob. I mean, Jacob waited 7 years for his first wife, and I was like, God, I'll wait 7 years, but please don't make me wait 14. Please.
Well, that was another thing. I had told a guy, he had bet me after high school I'm going to get married in the next year. I said, no, it'll be about 3 years. And it was 3 years. And we got married.
So we got married in 2012, and we've lived happily ever after.
It has been.
Right?
Yes. I can say yes.
He was 21, right? And I was 24 when we got married. Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we were happy all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess the next question was, how did we know that he was the right one for me and I was the right
one
for him?
Vice versa. I struggled with that question because I didn't know. I mean, like she'd said, whenever I had broke up with her there, I was 17, and at that point there, I was really starting to get kind of a rebellious attitude. I wasn't as close to God as I should have been. Definitely not. I was just kind of, I mean, like they say, filling a seat here at church. There was, you know, I wasn't close to God at all at that time. And as far as the breakup goes, it was just something, it was good. I wasn't ready for a relationship at all. But, you know, I was in high school at that time, wasn't ready for a relationship, wasn't as close to God as I should have been. Went through some times there that I struggled. A lot of temptation at school, for girls at school, and battled through that.
Huh?
Pressure, a lot of pressure. Yeah, and thank the Lord that I did not go after a lot of those girls, because those girls there, when I look now, you can see what their lives turned out to be, and you talk about a mess. Complete different ideals. I mean, there was, you know, several of them was trying to get with me, and had I got with them, what a different life I would have had. It would have been, looking at what that is now, I mean, at the time there, yeah, you know, you're 17 and you just think you own the world, but looking back now, man, what a wreck my life would have been. So thankfully I started to get closer to God, and I just left that, you know, behind, and she just kept coming back to my mind. Couldn't get her out of my head. So that's, I guess, how I kind of just knew that was where I should be.
Yes, my confirmation was on the way to your house one night for a date, and I just remember thinking, like, this is going nowhere. We're on year 15 and a half, it seemed like. And
it wasn't.
And so I just felt like maybe I should break it off. It's not going anywhere. He seemingly had no interest. He even mentioned the M word and marriage.
Yeah, I didn't like the marriage word.
I mean, the date was over, and it was like, get out. And so I was on the way to his house, and I just remember thinking, like, maybe I should just break it off. And it would just seem like God was, I could tell you right where I was, what road, what curve. It was just like, God is like, just hang tight. And little did I know,
after that,
at that time, you were actually looking at houses, and I had no clue. Like, we hadn't even talked about getting married, and you were looking at houses. So he did everything a little backwards.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It worked.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my confirmation. But I remember, I'm glad we both separately had that confirmation, because I remember the quarter talking about it in Sunday school about how you really need to know. You need to know this is the right person, because there will be days. I feel like we have a great, great marriage.
We do.
There have been days where you wonder, did I mess up? Did I really marry the right person? And it'll come. But when you have that confirmation from God, you know, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. So God's going to help us get through whatever problem it is. And he has, and he will. And it's just, I'm glad that I know this is where I'm supposed to be.
And that's where that being close to God first, that, you know, they say that marriage is, you know, I forget what the saying is, but whatever, you're closer you are to God, you're going to be closer to them. I don't know how that saying goes. How's it going?
I don't know what the saying is, but
well, I don't
it's
know.
Just
whatever it is. Yeah.
The concept of kind of the triangle.
Yes, that's what it is.
You've got God and your spouse and yourself. And
yes.
The closer you get to God, the closer you get to it.
Yeah, I can't get that out, so.
But it really is true. I mean, it's a blessing that it kind of dawned on me a year or so ago. You get married, you have love, and it's kind of puppy love at first, and it grows, and then you've got friendship. I mean, him and I had many, 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 many years to build a friendship. And
she was ready to get married before I was.
So, which is great. I mean, we laugh a lot.
Yeah,
we joke a lot, and that just kind of goes back to our friendship, that starting off, those years starting off, and then it kind of dawned on me a couple years ago, it's like, we have fellowship. I mean, how awesome is it that we share love together, but we also send devotions to each other. We can, when we're having a bad day, whether it's him or me, we pick up the phone and you call each other and be like, hey, can you just pray for me right now? And that's such a blessing.
To pray together before you go to work.
Before you go to work.
Yeah.
It's an amazing blessing that if we had married someone who wasn't spiritually minded, we wouldn't have that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have that at all. And it gives you such a boost to know that someone's praying for you and to be working together for God. It's awesome. Yeah.
Challenges.
Well, our challenge obviously was the 2.5 year age gap. You know, we get together, he's still in high school and I'm in college and we're still dealing with high school drama. The girls are chasing him, so we have to go to a different door after the football games just to stay away from them.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of in college and like, this is so stupid. But anyway, we survived. Yeah. Like he said, I was ready for a serious relationship and he was not. He's still, you know, hunting
and
hanging out with the guys, and I'm sitting by the phone like, why is this guy not calling me? But
it was a challenge.
We worked through it.
We did.
All of my friends, the biggest thing is all of my friends were getting married. So I'm in my early 20s. They're all getting married. I kind of boycotted some of the weddings because I didn't even want to go. They're getting houses. They're doing the married adult thing. And here I am. I'm still at mom and dad's house, which is cool. But I was ready to move on. So that was a challenge for us. I always had the desire, I wanted to be a wife and a mom. That was always, I did go to college, I had a career for a while, but my desire was to be a wife and a mom, and I kept reminding God of that. And so it's important that sometimes find a promise in the Bible, find that promise for you. And mine was Psalms 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And then also Psalm 84:11, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So it seemed frequently as I'm praying, Lord, you promised. You promised you're going to give me the desires of my heart. And these are good desires, you know, and that you won't withhold any good thing from me. So kept holding on to those promises and reminding God, and eventually they came true.
I think with that age gap is, you know, kind of an emphasis on not to rush things. You know, obviously I was not ready to be married. I didn't even have a good job yet. I could not have supported her. Had we rushed into a marriage at that point, you know, that would have had a whole another set of problems in its own there. You know, that would have caused financial problems. I would have still not been ready to settle down as far as going out and wanting to go hunting with my buddies or go paintballing or something like that. And that's not conducive to a good marriage. You're married. So that is...
You still get to hunt.
I still get to hunt, yeah. I'm talking about the way I did at that time. physical attraction. That was another struggle at that point with the age gap. You know, I wasn't ready to get married. She was, so the waiting was longer. So, you know, obviously there's physical attraction there. With the waiting, you can't get too close at that point because, and we didn't have the battles that you guys have now. We had, like we said, email. We didn't have FaceTime. There was not Snapchat. There wasn't even smartphones.
There wasn't Facebook or Instagram.
There wasn't Facebook, Instagram.
I don't know that our phones could send pictures if we had wanted to.
No. Yeah.
So it's, I can't imagine some of the struggles that you guys have, and I don't feel like I'm that old, but a lot's changed since we were dating, and the temptation has got to be so, so strong to do things that you shouldn't, to get too close, spending too much time FaceTiming or chatting, inappropriate pictures, that temptation's there, and you've got to really, really battle, because once you start down that rabbit hole, it just gets worse. You don't come back, at least not easily.
And that was something, when we did that thing over the hill down there that I had brought up, I know for a fact, if you think that your boyfriend, you think that, you know, you're so close with him, you're going to send him pictures, and he's not going to share them, you have lost your mind. Because first of all, if he's asking for pictures, no Christian boy is asking for pictures. So you need to stay away from him anyways. But I can guarantee you that you share those pictures with him, they're going to every last one of his buddies. They're all going to see those pictures. And if you happen to break up, they're definitely going to be sent all over the place. So I can't stress that enough. Don't be doing that stuff, because it will get out there.
Another thing that I had put on here as kind of advice was you don't have to be connected 24/7. Even when we were engaged, we didn't. He doesn't like to talk on the phone, so we didn't really talk on the phone much. No. We saw each other a couple times a week outside of church.
Yeah.
We would text a little bit here and there, but it didn't hurt us one bit. And actually, I'm kind of thankful that our relationship
was
like
good
that.
For us.
Because we could have gotten...
It kept that separation.
So, advice. Godly advice.
Yeah.
About waiting and dating.
Waiting and dating. Don't get in a hurry. It's kind of a recap here. Let's see. Yeah, that was you there.
Yeah, don't get in a hurry. I was 15 or 16 before I even met him. So if you're a young teenager, you're 13, you're 14, don't feel like I gotta have a boyfriend. My advice would be to focus on your relationship with God in your teenage years. I mean, you're gonna be attracted to others, but don't rush it. You really need to focus on building that foundation with God. Know why you do what you do. Because someday, even if you marry the right person or, you know, whatever, someday there may be something that comes up and you may have to stand alone, and you've got to have that foundation. You have to have that relationship with God, because something could happen, and you've got to know why you do what you do, and you're going to stand strong even if your spouse isn't or whatever. That's so important. And then, like we've said, wait for the right one. Don't just settle. Even if it seems like you're going to be single forever, don't settle.
Yeah.
There's things worse than being single.
Being with the wrong one. I mean, I would say anybody who's been out there and been with the wrong one will tell you it would have been much better off to have been single than to be with the wrong one. Because like I'd said before, I'd seen those options I'd had when I was younger. Had I been with the wrong one, my life, I would have probably been divorced by now. Who knows where I would be. And, of course, divorce comes with a whole nother string of problems. And then to try and get back to God after you've been with the wrong one and possibly have children out there that are connected to someone who wants nothing to do with church, to try and make it back then, what a battle. And I'm so thankful that I got the right one and that I don't have that battle.
This choice, you hear it all the time. I mean, getting saved is the most important choice you'll ever make, but... choosing a companion is the second most important choice, and I can't agree with that more. This choice sets the course for the rest of your life. There's so many times him and I would just be talking and be like, you know, wonder what would have happened if so-and-so would have married someone who was at church. You know, what would happen there? And it's amazing, crazy how your spouse really sets the tone. I mean, they really... You kind of morph into each other in some ways. You start talking
finishing
like each other.
Sentences, yeah.
So be careful who you marry.
Yeah.
Like start sounding like them. But, and I feel like this with some spouses or some marriages, you see, they just kind of ruin the other spouse, or they ruin each other, or they just end in kind of destruction. Or the flip side is that you can marry someone who helps you to blossom. They help you grow. They help you, they encourage you to grow spiritually, to get involved in God's work. And that's an amazing feeling. I feel like he encourages me in that way. And I feel like I've blossomed. I feel like I've...
Positivity breeds positivity. And vice versa, negativity breeds negativity. So you, if you get with someone who's constantly... Especially if someone's bashing the pastor or bashing things here at church, that's not going to, you know, if that's going on in your dating stage, that's not going to get better after you get married. You know, you need to be with someone who builds you up, especially spiritually.
Things don't change after you get married.
Yeah.
So things that maybe annoy you now or things that you see now that may be a little bit of an issue is going to be greatly amplified once you get married, whether that's...
You're seeing their A game while you're dating. So, I mean, if someone's got a bad temper while you're dating, and that's not fixed then, it's not just going to get magically get fixed after you get married. You get married, that temper is not just going to go away. It'll get worse, because now they, you're married, they don't have to be on their best behavior all the time.
Money.
And money, yeah. If they're spending and just bleeding money all over the place... That spending habit ain't going to get better after you get married. And I had read before, one of the top reasons for divorce is money problems. So, something to think about there.
Seek God until you know that he or she is the right one. Like I said, there may be days where you doubt your choice, and so you want to have that confirmation from God. Something else... Marriage is hard. Why start off on the wrong foot with the wrong spouse? It takes work. It takes a lot of work.
Yes.
And to have a good marriage. And it's worth it. There
will be times you will be mad at her and she will be mad at you. It's just bound to happen. You're two different people. You think differently. So there will be times you're upset with each other. So, I mean, if you're with the wrong one, one of them's not saved or something like that, it's just going to be exponentially harder.
But marrying the right one is an amazing, amazing blessing. He was worth the 17-year wait.
How long did we date?
7, I think.
7 years?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's a blessing to work together for God, especially to bring our kids up together mm-hmm. in church. To say, hey, it's your turn to take Jack out for the whole entire service. And it's a blessing. To be able to
work together.
Yeah. And Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you. And it amazes me, like he said, how even before we even met, God was just putting pieces in place. I mean, he was clear out in Missouri. I'm however many hundred.
I didn't even exist. You didn't even know me for 13 years.
No. No. And how God, you know, saved his mom, saved his dad.
Saved my grandma.
Ethan's not even supposed to be here. And I feel like God... made little Ethan, especially for me, and how he brought us together. And how do you find out his plan? You got to talk to him. You got to talk to God. You got to pray, really earnestly pray. It's such an important decision. Study his word and then trust him, even if it seems like you're waiting forever. There's no one out there, no one here for you. Just trust that God will work all things together for good.
I don't think so. Going to open it up to any questions. Everybody's pretty subdued. It's only Wednesday. Should be asleep yet.
Can I say something? I remember when we were talking about their breakup. And yes, Ethan was not where he should have been. And so I remember, I don't know how long it was, but I remember him telling me that he started thinking about Natalie. And oh, Ethan, he broke her heart. No.
The parents have to go through the breakup, too.
I was like, no. And so I said, well, you really pray about this because he wouldn't send anything. And I said, you need to pray about this. So I didn't know what he did. I think he had an email, but I was praying throughout the day. I was going along. I remember saying, Lord, if this is the people you want these two together, you'll have him come home and he'll say, I can't get him off my mind. So I'm going, and he comes home, and he says, Mom, so that was for me to say, God is being true. discussions that they've been having with these young people because it's so important. I didn't think it was going to say anything, but so vitally important. Did you think about the children you're going to have someday, the steps that are going to follow behind you to get that perfect, perfect community that God has just given you? So
we appreciate Brother Natalie, or Brother Ethan and Sister Natalie. And we appreciate just how, you know, God works in situations and how, you know, we hope by, you know, having couples at various ages. We had Brother Talbot, Sister Talbot last night. But just to show you how God works, as long as you're seeking God and as long as you're looking to God for your companion, how God takes and He will work things to, you know, I think about just how maybe Brother Ethan just wasn't quite where he needed to be yet, and God needed to mold him into that person that Natalie needed him to be. And there is a molding time that we all go through in our lives. And sometimes you think, I'm ready to move on with my life. I'm ready for a companion. I'm ready to, you know, I'm ready to start dating. I'm ready to seek somebody out. Maybe God's saying, I've still got some molding to do on you. I've got some, you know, or maybe that person that I've got for you is not ready yet. And I have to do a little molding on them. And so I think about, you know, with Natalie and Ethan's situation. And you know, it took a while. It took a while. But all through the process, again, we kind of had a front row seat seeing what was going on. Yes, there was tears, a lot of tears, matter of fact. But God was molding. God, you know, and I don't think Natalie was ready. Maybe as ready as what she thought she was ready. But God had to do a little work on her too. Had to do some fine tuning and whatever it might be. But the main thing is when the time was right, God put them together, and they have a wonderful, wonderful relationship. They have a wonderful home. And that's what God wants for each and every one of you. That's what God wants for each and every one of you. And again, there's nothing magic about it. It's not a fairy tale. And if you are where you need to be with the Lord and you're seeking God with your whole heart, I certainly believe God will honor that request. God will honor that request. But patience. We're not good with patience. And so God help us to be patient in those things that we're seeking for. And when you are seeking a companion, be patient. Wait on the Lord. The Bible talks about waiting on the Lord, right? Wait on the Lord. Because it's just like I think about when you put something in the oven and you bake it, and peach cobbler or blueberry cobbler. I just love blueberry cobbler. And so I'm kind of waiting in anticipation, waiting for that cobbler to come out. I hear that timer go off and I pull it out and it's still gooey in the middle. Man, I want some blueberry cobbler. So you stick it back in the oven. It's not ready yet, right? And so sometimes the waiting, the anticipation is just about more than you can bear. But be patient. Why? Because God's got something good for you. So we appreciate Brother Ethan and Sister Natalie tonight. And we appreciate all of our speakers. And so young people, be encouraged. Be encouraged. God's got something good for you.